Blog Talk Radio.
Sierra Hotel.
India.
Echo.
Lima.
Delta.
I am the idea. I want to
love. Hey, King of Kings.
This is Those Guys with your host, Matt Marrero, along with
Dishram.
Now, if you think, wow, these guys sound very unmotivated, and I think they sound kind of sad, that's how the Raw announce team sounds.
Seriously,
right?
They kind of suck, don't they? Why don't they hire us?
Because here's the thing. I'm not even saying that we're so good, but what I am, and here's the reason why it's coming up at the start of main event. After hearing the announce team for main event tonight, the commentary.
Oh, we're good again?
Yeah. I mean, these guys, I was just thinking, wow, this is really good.
Yeah,
and they
do the subtle things as if, like, they went to the JR School of Announcing where they call moves. And they put over the people in the match, and it's really just, it can keep you interested in a bad match.
Yeah, no, I'll even admit, because, you know, we made the joke about building ourselves up, but honestly, while I think you'd be a great heel and I think I'd be a great face, I do think I drone on, you know? Like, I do think I might be building up people that don't need to be built up. Like, I will sit there and be like, you know, the thing about these two competitors and how great they are, and, you know, people will think, Matt, you're talking about Titus O'Neil and, you know, Zack Ryder. You know, things like, where it's like, Matt, you know they're going to lose this match, right? You know, things like that.
I would get the devil's advocate role, which is obviously easier. Because you'd just be like, yeah, you know, let's say you're building over, like, a face Adam Rose. I'd just be like, Adam Rose, this guy could never compete for the World Heavyweight Championship, let alone the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. This guy is nothing.
And then
it's
I get shut down immediately.
Right, but see, it's okay because there's subtleties about it where, like, Lawler and JR had the most, you know, chemistry between it.
Okay.
I like that we kind of delved into commentary. But, you know, because JR was so energetic about these guys that you're like, you know what? Fuck you, Lawler. So you basically have to be better than me, which isn't a problem because you can go on about these guys. And what made it better was that JR made every bit of offense sound like offense. So when the face got in a kick, it would just be like, oh, those educated feet. And it's like, wow, that guy's pretty good, huh? JR may have a point. And then you really want to cheer for the face.
It's kind of funny. JBL made an educated feet reference. With RVD, actually.
What are the feet? Have they been learning? Do they know things? What can they?
He mentioned, what do the feet know how to read? Like, I was like, all right, JR. I was like, all right, JBL, that's funny.
No, that was actually pretty funny. I'll give him that.
Yeah, but no, it's one of those things where it's just, you know, and I'll blame Vince. I don't know if anyone, we've talked about this a lot. Vince really does talk into their ear, apparently, like, badly. Like, not like little, okay, what Vince should be doing. Right. What I think would be a perfect job for Vince to do would be, you know, what after every, you know, let's say, maybe like every once in a while, like, we're cutting to commercial. Talk about the app. Right. That's cool. But apparently he'll say, you know, like, let's just say, and again, this is only a made up example, but basically, you know, it's what he would say. You have someone like, I don't know, like Zack Ryder come out, right? Who doesn't obviously need any pushes, right? But it'll be like, you know, make fun of
that
his hair.
Betty's going to kill you for that.
Well, he's not getting any. I want him to. I'm not saying but he's not going to get any anytime soon. We know that. But so Zack Ryder comes out, and all of a sudden Vince McMahon's on the thing. Talk about his hair. Make fun of the woo. You know, it's like, you know, so all of a sudden when they're obviously not doing that because whatever, all of a sudden he's apparently screaming loudly, like, do it, I'm Mr. McMahon, damn it. And this is while this is a made-up scenario, apparently things like this do happen. So it's very hard for these guys to, you know, do that whole job thing that they're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, and part of it as well is that you have three older guys who have been in the company for a very long time now, forced in a position where they have to be at least aware of current events. And I think that's why some we just feel a little bit more comfortable with the younger guys, because I talk about them as prospects. They have bad nights, they have good nights. But they have the potential to really engage us and entertain us. And you look at JBL, Lawler, and Cole, and it's really hard for I'm not really insulting JBL here, but more so maybe Cole and Lawler. It's hard for them to talk about, like, the app and the network, because they're not all tech-savvy people. So kind of it is just force where it was shoved down their throat, and they're not really comfortable talking about it. And you can tell.
I actually believe that Michael Cole is comfortable. Jerry Lawler, though, is an adorable man. Like, I have to call him adorable.
Okay. I might take that, because if only because Cole has been kind of, like, jettisoned into that world where he has done, like, journalistic stuff.
Yeah.
But Lawler is just, you understand exactly what I mean with Lawler.
Oh, yeah, no.
Where he's just like,
last night on Raw.
On my blueberry.
Yes, exactly. No, last night JBL made a Super Mario reference, and, you know, and Lawler,
right,
well, it was a funny joke. Well, it was a funny joke. Yeah, because he was saying, oh, yeah, you know, Hornswoggle's been, you know, seen trying to eat mushrooms to grow, you know, to grow taller, Michael. Right? Or he didn't say Michael. But, and then we had Lawler who said, you know, oh, really? I think fertilizer would work better. Which I do think some of his old man jokes are really funny. But in my head, something went, you didn't know where that was from. You didn't know.
Yeah, I was just like, what? And then he went ahead with the electrical current. What band is the favorite of electricians? 3MB? No, AC/DC.
I do like some of his jokes. I know people complain about his jokes. I think that's the least of his concerns. I think the sexism is more of the, you know, I think that's the issue.
But no, sexism in WWE is being combated. I mean, we have Paige, who I could drone on about for like an hour. My God, she was so good tonight.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, main event actually tonight had a lot of good things. And it's funny because As bad as last week was, where we were sitting there, are we going
to
do a main event podcast? It was the exact opposite this week. It was like, are you ready to do the main event podcast? Hell yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, the fact that we had Sheamus versus Bray as a, you know, as a main event, that already led me into thinking, all right, I think we should. But then immediately after, I mean, watching this main event, it was just, all right, yep, it's happening. It's, yeah, here we are. You know, and, I mean, there were so many great things tonight that I do think we should go in order. I mean, of course, there were a few things that kind of threw me off and I think we should complain about. The first match being something that I want to complain about. I want to write a letter to WWE. First off, Goldust won. Why? And I ask why because I at first thought they were maybe teasing the fact that it's like, oh, Goldust won and Cody didn't. And it was a little bit, it was there a little bit when Cody started speaking. But then it was just, nah, but we're bros. And it's like, all right, so are they just
trying to tease a subtle heel turn with Cody?
Yeah.
But the problem is he wasn't that successful as a heel. He was basically just relegated to the mid-card when he was like dashing Cody Rhodes and stuff.
Yeah.
Part of that was booking. Part of that was just he seems to fit better as a face. His offense, he can be a bit aerial. You know, he can be fast. He works off hot tags.
Right.
It's just weird because I feel like the role reversal here is fucked up because Cody should be the one winning and Goldust should be getting jealous.
Exactly.
Because it should be like, man, I can't go. Because it's like, man, I can't go anymore. And then I see Cody wrestling and it's like, screw you, man. And you get that. That makes sense. You know?
Yeah, I just exactly. Like,
why
you know, Goldust
is it flipped?
Yeah, it's because
why
and
can't
I really,
Cody win the match?
Because we're
49.
All Attitude Era fans. Because we're all Attitude Era fans, so we have to like Goldust. And then when Cody speaks, he actually really does still sound pretty young, which is really bad against him. I love the guy, but he really sounds young. Such a big issue, I think, for when he, you know, because I mean, I hate to say it, you know, but it's like it's. When you get older, you're supposed to have that, you know, that more of a drop to where, you know, you come out and you're just Triple H.
You want a little bass in that voice.
Yeah, you know, I'm Batman, whatever Triple H is.
It's not even Batman, but, like, yeah, there should be a bit more kick in there. It's just, I feel bad because, A, they're doing the roles wrong. B, they're doing this now when nobody cares about the roads anymore, which sucks because they were so good for a while. So,
of course,
I feel like this is definitely a misplay on WWE's part, where they should be putting them back as a tag team to revitalize the division, and they're trying to force the betrayal storyline down our throats.
Oh, yeah. But out of the three people,
match was lackluster.
Yes, But out of the three people, I mean, it wasn't the worst thing in the world, but yes. And out of the three people involved in that match, though, I want to hug the most, the person I really want to hug, and I feel really bad for, is Alberto Del Rio. Many people will say, well, why, Matt, why? If you all forget, which is fine. I mean, you know, everyone, it doesn't click, really, that often. Main Event and SmackDown are filmed in the same lineup. They're filmed in the same block. So Main Event, once it ended, SmackDown started. So basically, what they were promoting was a Fatal 4-Way. So it's like, all right, cool, Fatal 4-Way. Dean Ambrose, this, Alberto Del Rio? So now you have to sit there and go, wow, this, I mean, yes, it was the Main Event. No spoilers.
Yeah, by the way,
Main Event.
I've seen SmackDown spoilers. Matt doesn't like to delve into those. Seen SmackDown spoilers. Looks like it's going to be a good SmackDown. I would say
definitely.
Watch. Based on my first impression,
watch.
And I'm pretty hard
definitely
to impress
watch.
With SmackDown. So I would say watch. Looks like it's going to be fun.
Yes.
Teaser of the night. Damian Sandow is still Magneto. Want to make that clear to
but
everybody.
But who will he be facing as Magneto? That is the question.
Damian,
we really need you to hope again.
The Fatal 4-Way with Alberto Rio is funny because, if you remember correctly, as WrestleMania approached, we had reports that he was thinking about leaving the company, and they're doing this to him. And it's kind of sad because I don't love Del Rio, but I can see why people love Del Rio. You know?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not part of his fan base, but he's not the worst person on the mic, and he's not that bad in the ring. I hated him as a heel. He kind of bored me and annoyed me, but it was weird because he became a face, and I liked him for a bit, and I started to appreciate his offense because, honestly, his in-ring work is pretty versatile, where he can do some aerial stuff. He's very technical. You know, he's got good range on his kicks and punches. So it's just they could be doing things with him.
Well, you know, I have to bring up my obligatory brand split comment of the night. I tried bringing it up last night, and I alluded to it, but sadly it didn't click that I actually did make a brand split reference. Now,
it's okay.
I get to
talk about Paige later, so we're fine.
Yeah, exactly. Now, why is this record, you know, continuously turning over and over and over? Because, right, if SmackDown was its own thing, Alberto Del Rio would be great on SmackDown. I mean, there's no reason why he couldn't be, you know, let's say a World Heavyweight Champion, I don't know. Or at the very least, maybe even, you know, trying to get a WWE Championship reign, and then, of course, everyone laughing and then Daniel Bryan beating him. But the point is that they can do things with him on the microphone, yet I don't remember the last time I heard him speak is when, wait, hold on, did Batista bury Alberto Del Rio? Now that we think about it, that's the last time I heard him speak.
It's weird
because
I'm not really the biggest Alberto Del Rio advocate, but I can kind of understand where the guy's coming from, where he's like, I want to quit. Well, why? Because they're going to feed me to Batista and then do nothing with me?
That's half of this roster. Again, it needs to, you know, we talked about this last night. The stories need to trickle down. They need to think, that's right, these guys actually have voices. You know, we're not dealing with a bunch of mutes here. Maybe one of them can cut a promo on a guy. Just a little tiny promo.
Small stuff.
Know,
I mean, it works. It makes
small,
for entertaining
like,
TV.
Exactly. You know, think about these Wade Barrett segments, right, that are so amazing. Not everyone is Wade Barrett, mind you, but not everyone is Curtis Axel either. There's a
Does
nice
that come
little,
right after
like,
the...
between.
No, Paige's match came second, right?
No, yes. But it's still a great thing to think about. Oh, yeah, no, great Paige match, I'd have to say. You know, it was a great match, and I think the Tamina thing, that's a thing that I'm actually really happy about. I think maybe with Paige, there's hope. Might not happen, but there's hope of bringing stories back to the Divas division. If not, then maybe since AJ's gone, they need to do their one Divas quota story. So maybe that's just their Diva quota. I don't know.
Yeah, you can play
but
a piece on the Paige match, because I'm going to freak out, so I need to...
I said enough about brand splits and everything. Talk about Paige.
No, because, and it's just, for those of you out there listening, you know my shtick with Paige. I really like her. But what it was tonight that I liked is that if you rewatch it, because I got these vibes of confidence from her, where you look at her walking to the ring, she's doing a thing with her tongue, a little bit of wink to the crowd. She knew she belonged, and it was this radiating power and confidence that I loved. And then the match hits. And she's good in the match because Hurricanrana, that DDT, the knees in the corner to Alicia Fox, everything looked good. And by the way, kudos to Alicia Fox. Good job putting on a match,
yeah,
by the way.
I was going to say that, too. I don't think Alicia Fox is bad either, actually.
Oh,
which
no.
Because
this is Alicia Fox is definitely good in terms of working as a partner in these matches. I know that there's not much for her, but, you know, kudos to you, hat tip, because you put on a good match. And that was a good Divas match. And when you think about it, right, on Raw, she got in a superplex. Tonight, she got in a hurricanrana outside the ring. She needs the shit out of her on the ropes. A drop, like, package DDT. That's the original Rampage, by the way. I don't know what they call the Rampage now. I think it's the they may call the Scorpion Crosslock the Rampage,
right,
which continues to be funny because of my last name and Page. But it's not fair.
It'll happen one day.
She exuded so much confidence and perfection tonight that it was just like, Paige will never know I exist and will never care I exist, because she was so perfect that it's just, we exist in different realms. And she was really good. And then the Tamina segment after was cool, because Tamina coming out and staring made perfect sense. Storyline advancement, where it was like, I'm watching you. And Paige was just like, she is watching me. And she's bigger than me. But at the same time, she's so tough. And again, commentary did a great job putting over Paige in this match, putting over Alicia Fox when she was doing well. And I want to care about the Divas division, and thank God Paige is up. I hope that everyone else is realizing why I freaked out about this chick, because she's worthwhile caring about.
I'm hoping
a lot of them aren't, like Emma especially, because I love her too.
Yes.
But,
no,
we can care openly.
Yeah, I agree with you completely. I was a bit concerned. There was one man from the audience, maybe you heard him too, saying, go Alicia Fox. I don't know who you are, sir, but what?
Well,
we
have random Black Power people in the crowd.
I just don't know what to say. Like, all jokes aside, it was just very confusing, only because I guess it's a SmackDown crowd, but you notice SmackDown crowds usually go for, I mean, it's like,
well,
Alicia
Fox
isn't even
technically the heel.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know what that was
Paige was a heel, but she took out AJ, which made her a face,
and now the way she's wrestled.
Yeah, she's been kind of a tweener face.
Yeah, exactly. But
I mean, I don't want to go on more about her, because it's just not fair, but
I'm
really loving her scream thing, because she's really getting into it, and it's just
it's a lot better than, let's say, you know, Brie Mode, for instance. It's a lot.
Right,
it,
no,
it
and
really
I'm, being, I'm not
feel...
even trying to be that ass that's just like, you guys suck if you're not Paige, but because they don't. A lot of them don't, you know? I mean, Natty's pretty solid. We've talked about this multiple
times. Yeah, I honestly feel as if, you know, if Total Divas takes them all away, that's great, but the two that we're really missing that I feel bad about are, you know, Natty and Summer Rae.
Yeah, and they can do things, and it's just really,
that's
it's
why.
Crazy because let's, huh?
That's why. It's like it really
sucks
that we are losing them. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And cool because looking at the Divas roster now, right, we have things. Let's just say, for an example, right, next pay-per-view, Brie fights Stephanie. Let's just say. Because they could be building up to that.
Right, yeah, it makes sense.
Right? Brie fights Stephanie, goes over on Stephanie, right?
Mm-hmm.
AJ, at this time, fights Natty, right? Let's say she does this thing with Natty. The next thing is AJ and Brie. I'm sorry, is Paige and Brie? And then you could have AJ return, and it's just like Paige is like, yeah, I'm on top of the world. She's feeling great. Suddenly AJ comes in and thrashes her, and you're like, oh, shit. And AJ's just like, that's my title. I want it back. And just leaves.
Basically.
And it's like, huh? And that would be great because then I would get my Paige-AJ thing, which is what I – that's going to kill me.
Oh, yeah, especially if AJ popped out from under the ring, just like Kane did. AJ's under the ring.
You know she's
AJ's
worn Kane.
Under the ring.
Did you were around for the Kane when she was liking the guys and she came out with like Kane's mask and she looked like Harley and I wanted to like faint?
Sadly, I wasn't around for that, but I will be Googling that tonight.
Yeah, I'll get you pictures later. And it was worth it.
Please do.
Seriously, because AJ is just wonderful in many ways. But Divas Division, between, I would say, Emma, when they eventually start actually using her, please start actually using her. Can't emphasize that enough. Emma,
AJ Lee coming back. Yeah.
Hmm?
Yeah.
Paige.
I think it's going to end up being a really cool kind of, remember something, you know, I think we talked about this a bit before, but remember, you know, Trish Stratus was at one point eye candy. So, So, I mean, thankfully they're not going that route with Emma, but at the same time, they're still going with a route with her that's more, you know, kind of a comedic, she's a comedy character, we're going to be funny with her, right? Yeah, but hopefully they remember, hey, she was really good at NXT, you can't hide that, you know? It's not as if she appeared off the street, where, like, technically Santino, I mean, to the average fan watching, he, quote-unquote, appeared off the street, right?
Right.
So Santino, you can be that. Emma, it's like, no. She was on NXT. You guys promoted that arrival thing. Remember that?
Yeah, and one of your big matches was Paige versus Emma, which was a 4-to-5-star match.
Yeah.
So when you think about it, all I'm hoping down the line, I mean, one of the biggest things for the women's division, and I should say women's and not divas, still working on that habit, back in the day was when Trish and Lita main evented Raw. And I have faith that Paige and Emma or Paige and AJ or even Emma and AJ, you know, some collection of the two out of the three could main event Raw next year because
yes,
they could. And it could be like, you know, if we've got a 4-week build to a pay-per-view special event, it could be like the second week, you know, something like that. So it's not that major for them. It's not the go-home show. But it's still, they main evented a Raw in the 3-hour era, and that would be awesome. And they have the talent to do it. If you give them the time to work a match, they can. It's going to be interesting to watch Paige on Sunday because it's going to be her first pay-per-view and her first special event, this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I have confidence in her. I always have had confidence in her.
I do. Yeah, no. Yeah, she's going to be great.
She'll
never know
me, but she's
and
perfect.
I think Emma will, she will get better in terms of, you know, how she's being used. I just feel as if there are certain people that have to pay their dues. Others somehow manage to get through. They're lucky. But others have to pay their dues. I mean, look at Daniel Bryan. He just got his top of the world moment when I think everyone would have argued that it should have happened a while ago. And we're actually worried at certain points of his career going, well, this guy's done. He's never going to make it because of WWE. And, you know, I'm not saying that Emma is, you know, is a female Daniel Bryan, but at the same time, you know, again, there are certain people who kind of, you know, get that drop. I mean, look at Bad News Barrett right now. Apparently he has a Vince seal of approval, which didn't exactly work for Fandango, but whatever, has a Vince seal of approval, and we'll see where that takes Barrett. Apparently, from the rumors, it's taking him, you know, to the Intercontinental Championship at the very least.
Yeah, it could work. And I mean, honestly, you know, Paige had her wrestling background, so that could be part of it. But to switch off of our little Divas tinge, we have a caller in.
Oh.
We have a caller.
That's
I'm going to put him on
oh,
right now.
On. Oh, please.
Hey, guys.
And there you
hey.
Go.
Hey, guys, it's me, Danny.
Who is it?
It's Danny.
Oh, it is? Well,
yeah.
That's
what?
A change of pace.
Where were you guys today?
What?
Where were you guys
what?
Today?
What?
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 No, I
now we're sounding like the Seagull from Fighting Nemo.
If I ever got the chance to actually cut a promo in a ring, I would just start listing things, be like, you know, just, today for breakfast I had some eggs. What? And then some bacon. What? And then it would be great. Oh, it would be great. I would just make nonsensical lists. But anyway, were you able to catch main event tonight, Danny? Able to see the
actually, yes. And dear God, that DDT looked like just Lord, that
we can't stop with Paige. We can't stop with Paige. We tried. That DDT though, like it looked pain. It was weird to have that be the end of the match, only because of, you know, finishers. But in reality, like really thinking about the reality of the situation, that was painful. That hurt.
That looked like she broke her neck.
Oh
like,
yeah, that's one of the finishing moves she used to use because she had the mix of the page turner, that DDT, and the crosswalk.
Right.
So over her first 4 weeks, they've actually debuted all of her main finishing moves.
I think
they're going to stick to the cross lock because that's, you know, the most powerful of it. But in the cases that they don't want to make the diva look weak by having them tap, they can use the rampage if she can lift them up.
Oh, definitely. I really think that they're going to be able to do something like that to just, you know, I mean, show how strong she is, because I didn't realize that her DDT was a finisher. I mean, it looked like a finisher, but I didn't realize that it was. So
yeah, it looked like
it
was a lift up for a fisherman suplex or something, and then she just goes, nope, DDT.
What I think is the best about, you know, thing about it too is it's taking a move that should, you know, that most people would say, no, that's like a man's weak move, and making it look extremely powerful.
Yeah.
Because she does it with a little emphasis and force that it's like, yeah, that probably would hurt if they happened to me.
Yeah, because,
Jesus.
Yeah, Oh yeah, no, and it's an issue I think with some of the divas.
And Fox sold it great, by the way.
Oh
yeah,
where you know some divas are like, oh, you get a schoolboy as a finisher, and it's like, really, really.
Why is a schoolboy a finisher?
It's actually that's Eva Marie's finisher, which goes.
Do you remember Woman Slap in the WWE video games?
Oh,
Woman Special Slap, Token.
Yeah,
Slap.
The moment when it's
all
like,
the women
all right,
who
worked
like Trish and Lita got that finishing move.
No, it's so bad because you think either women are weak or that is a slap of a thousand suns.
Yes, that's
it was
awesome.
Like, do you remember Roddy Piper strikes in the games where you would hit the Roddy Piper strike and they would fly across the ring? I figured that was like the female equivalent.
No, it's like
that
Summer Rae
slap. Mega slap.
I don't know if you two know. Both Ashley and I did a Total Divas recap on Sunday, and
yeah.
It's in the archives now if anyone wants to listen.
Saturday.
Summer Rae did a slap that was so hard, right, that it actually, like, Natty really needed surgery.
In real
life. Yes. That's why she was out a bit after that TLC match with AJ.
Jeez.
Yeah. That's an actual... So Summer Rae's real slap apparently caused, you know, Natty went to the doctor, and it was like, oh, hey, like, whenever Natty, she was breathing in for the camera, just, you know, just one nostril didn't move. And then
Jeez.
She went in to realize that something was collapsed on the inside.
Dear Lord.
Well, that's what happens when you hit the triangle button. Sometimes these things happen.
Yeah, in real life, mind you.
Oh.
No, I think, oh, God, it was terrible. But, so, Danny, what was your favorite part of the night?
Bray Wyatt versus Sheamus.
Yes,
there was,
which we will get to, but yes, I mean, obviously, it was a really good match, and it makes me feel bad for Bray, because as we were talking, I'm sure you were listening, Danny, you know, they film the whole thing in a block with Main Event and SmackDown, and
yes,
without the spoilers of the outcome, there was a six-man tag later that night with Bray and the Wyatts versus...
Well, technically not later that night, it was Friday Night SmackDown. But,
Well, technically.
You're right. It was Bray and his buddies versus Sheamus and the Usos, who came in as superhero faces to save Sheamus from Injustice.
So confusing. It's like, don't we have a Shield for Injustice for that?
Nah. The Shield is dealing with Evolution. They're not going to let the Shield go against the Wyatt.
They're Injustice out right now. That's a little bit too much for them on their plate.
Yeah, they're just sitting at home drinking some beers going, whoa, we don't have to work with this.
Let the Usos go.
They're in catering. Are we kidding? They're in catering, and they go down to the basement where they eat their meals.
No. What happened was Roman Reigns was sitting at home all justiced out, and he saw what was happening, and he made a call to his cousins, and when they picked up, he goes, Justice. And they're like,
Take care of those puffs for me.
Yeah, we're on it. They put the Usos away. Oh yeah, it would be great.
See, now I can't picture that ending scene without thinking like, "Whoopow!"
And I'm a sucker for super kicks. So.
Oh yeah, it was just so confusing though because it was like, all right, who are we not using? We aren't using the Usos. That's who we're using tonight.
But I can't get that out of my head because now I'm thinking of the super kick out of the ring and it's just pow, like on the screen.
Now I want to see
Harper and Rowan go for the tag titles.
They could.
Honestly, we've discussed this before. The internet has discussed this before. That would be a great thing for the Wyatts to try to become the stable with all of the, you know, kind of like how the Shield had the tag titles and, you know, and the United States title. It would be nice if you could try to have Bray going for the WWE if, let's say, it was dropped off Bryan or something sad like that. Because it would be nice because it's a way of Bray saying, hey, I'm going after the title not because I enjoy it, but because you people enjoy it. And I want to destroy everything you people love because this title means nothing. It's literally a belt. It means nothing.
He can't say belt.
That's why it would be funny.
Because Bryan's going to the SummerSlam to face Lesnar, right?
That's
what I'm thinking.
Well, they're not even rumors.
I don't know about
that. They're not even rumors. They're just us assuming. Because honestly, Lesnar, while I think it would be a great fight, because again, it's Daniel overcoming a big, strong guy, Lesnar may fight Cesaro because there's rumors of, there's rumors of a slight dissension because of you have Heyman talking a lot about, you know, the Undertaker, you know, conquered streak, et cetera, and not focusing enough on Cesaro. So people are actually thinking, like, some people are complaining, like, oh, they're not building up Cesaro. But then others are saying, no, that's what they could be doing there, where he's not building up Cesaro as much as Cesaro wanted. This is Cesaro's way of taking the mic and going, hey, you know, Paul, you know, you're not really doing a good job with me, and then kind of just separating from Paul Heyman. And then,
and then
Lesnar. Yes, exactly.
Lesnar crush. Right.
Yes. Lesnar crush! That would be a great fight, actually, Rusev versus Lesnar.
Jeez.
With the way they're building Rusev, that would be really nice.
I'm not completely convinced Rusev can work a full match yet.
No.
Yeah.
I'm saying with the way he's being built, though, as this really big, strong guy, it would be nice if they would, you know, one day, if everything works out. Because that would be very – wouldn't it be very upsetting just, you know, Alexander Rusev has been released from the WWE. We, you know, we wish him luck on all of his future endeavors. We're all sitting here. He squashed 8 guys.
Like, and I hate the fact that he I hope they just don't do him with have him like a do a Brodus Clay.
No. Brodus Clay screwed over Brodus Clay. No.
How did that actually happen?
Commentary screwed over Brodus Clay. That's
what
why
do you
commentary
mean?
Is so important, Danny.
No, that just
commentary
wasn't meant to work then. Because you couldn't build a face Funkasaurus as a monster when he had 3 moves.
Well, that's one thing that's bad. Like, again, Brodus Clay wasn't as good.
Should I get him and Big Flash?
Well, here's
that
the thing, right?
It.
So that's bad. That's all, again, so like I said, originally as a joke, but also the truth, Brodus Clay screwed over Brodus Clay, right? That's one. But the second thing that's really bad is that, like, Brodus Clay, right, could come out and literally say, I have developed a cure for cancer, right? I'm not even joking. I'm talking about, seriously, this man comes out and does good for the, like, I have solved hunger in the third world, right? And you'll still have Michael Cole going, and he's fat. And everyone's like, oh, it's funny because he's fat. And it's like, but guys, Brodus did a lot of good work right now. It's like, shut up, Michael, he's fat.
And that's you can be fat and be a good worker. I mean, Cassius Ohno was fat and a good worker. Oh, fat, overweight, rather. Not fat.
Right,
like,
no,
but,
yeah,
I
no,
mean,
no, no.
Bray.
I don't know why
Bray,
they,
Bray.
Have, like, a beer. They lost the boat on him.
So, yeah, that's the issue.
I mean,
it's
well, Cassius, based on rumors, Cassius fucked himself over because he was basically just like, you know what, I'm good the way I am, don't change me. And WWE was like, yeah, but you have to show that you can listen to us when we tell you to do things. And he's like, yeah,
right,
but I'm good, you don't need to change me. He's like, we're not trying to change you, work out a little bit more, we're trying to see if you can follow authority. And he was like, I don't need this. And then they were like, fuck you, release him. So
basically,
WWE
may have
dropped the ball with him because he's talented, but I can understand why they did it. For once.
Yeah.
I do understand that one.
Yeah, because...
Like, so he just had to make an effort?
More of an effort. He was making... Okay, imagine... Because the thing with WWE is, you can make an effort, but you don't... In WWE, you don't give 100%. You give 150, right?
Right.
Maybe when you're at a point where you're sadly at Batista or Rock's level, when you can kind of skate a bit in a way, and no one really judges you if you're like The Rock, right? So that'll happen. That's what I'm saying. That'll happen when you get to that level. But when you're at Cassius Ohno's level, which for the WWE, not for anything else, for the WWE is at the bottom of the totem pole,
right,
you have to work your way up to where finally you can be like, Hunter, I can call you Hunter, right? I text you, Hunter. We're chill, Hunter. Hunter, I'm not going to work out as much anymore. Come on, you know me. You know how good I am. Let's just do this. And
yeah,
it's been like
work
the thing
that way.
Yeah, maybe it can. 5 years down the line or something, not at first.
Or if he becomes that famous, right, because WWE is a business. You're correct. Yeah, it's a business. So either you've got to be in a place where you're guaranteed money, like The Rock or Batista, or you've got to be trustable enough to not be a loose cannon when they do. So if they try to give you a push to make the money and then you just decide, no, I'm going to be my own person, they don't want to waste that kind of money, resources, time on you. You know? So if you can't do that shit in NXT, if you can't do that shit in developmental.
Yeah,
I kind of get
hey,
it.
Hey, one more question. What happened to Evan Bourne?
A ton of injuries and suspensions based on synthetic weed.
Yeah, I know the suspension, but, like, how many times has he been injured? Because he was supposed to come back a while ago. I mean, he had a broken ankle, but...
I'm gonna throw my fact checker on that, actually, if she's around. Manny, are you around?
What I'll say is this much, though. With a guy who works like that, I mean, you're prone to injuries, especially, you know, with the way WWE will work you and with the way WWE will, you know, train you differently, you might be used to a different style of fighting. That's why the original Sin Cara is gone, because the original Sin Cara was used to a certain kind of fighting, you know, in Mexico, where in the WWE it was very hard for him to translate and, you know, to come over and do this. And also, again, it's with the way they work you, they try to make you work safe by doing less moves, but still, if you're not able to pull off that schedule anyway, regardless of how safe they want you to work, you're going to screw up. And that's
why
what Sin Cara was.
Have less moves anyway?
Why they make them do less moves?
Yeah.
Safer. Think about it. While there are guys like Adrian Neville, everyone can have an opportunity to be Adrian Neville light. Like, everyone can try to do those things, but the higher risk of injury means that you can't do, like, you can't just say to everyone, yeah, a 720 splash. Doesn't exist. A 720
splash.
Yeah, Adrian
Neville definitely stands on his own, in a way,
yeah,
because he
but
is
still,
a freak with
yeah.
some of the stuff he can do. By the way, Maddie's
but
got his
people,
back here on
okay.
Evan Bourne.
Right.
And she says that they dumped him to NXT in March 2013, and
yes.
he hasn't been seen since, and he had broken his ankle in five places before that.
Ooh.
So I do think it's a combination of everything, where it was the suspensions, the injury and stuff. I think he's still with the company, though, under contract.
Yes,
and his
he
Shooting
is.
Star Press was a marvel to watch, because he got the most height on it that I'd ever seen for that move, based on the turnbuckle
yeah.
jump.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely think the same way as you. I mean, Evan Bourne, there was a time where, like, Evan Bourne, John Morrison were, like, my kind
of
crack Danny. So I know, you know, I know
yeah.
where you're coming from for that.
I want him and Kofi to go back together, though. I don't know why.
The
Wildcat. And Kofi get back together.
The Wildcat.
I will say, though, Leo, I mean, it would be nice if they can do some more, you know, interesting moves instead of being in this kind of formula that they have to pick. But, you know, the formula, WWE believes is more digestible. That's why you'll have Daniel Bryan, who now is in the main event status, and some will say that his matches are a bit lazy. It's because WWE tells him, you have to do it like this, Daniel, which is actually, I think, even more pressure, I feel, because while it can become routine, you can't screw up your routine now. So it's like, no, you have to do it like this now, Daniel, because not a whole match choreographed, let's say, but, you know, his final, you know, kind of like end segment has to be pretty much the same each time. You know, he can't just say, you know what, I'm going to get on the top rope and, let's say, do like a, you know, a shooting star press or something. It's like, no. You can't do things like that, Daniel. You can kill yourself. You're a champion. No. If you are getting on the top rope, you're doing that headbutt thing.
I'm
you know,
just do a frog splash.
Exactly, he can't do things like that because it's like, Daniel, that's way out of that's way out of left field.
But hey,
Daddy,
it's been, as always, it's been great
yeah.
talking to you.
All right,
so we're gonna let you go for right now. And of course, if anybody else wants to call in, 718-664-9468. That's 718-664-9468. And one last thing on the Evan Bourne thing. You know what Evan Bourne's Twitter is, Matt?
What?
Find Evan.
That makes me so happy. No one has any idea how happy that makes me so happy. Oh, I know I sound like I'm the Raw announce team, but I'm really happy right now. You have no idea.
I am really happy. If you didn't notice before, I am really happy. It just reminded me of
really
Raw last
sad.
Night. John Cena just says, you know, I need to be Bray so I can leave his message in the cage. And Lawler says, you know, I think Cena's going to have to win to leave Wyatt's message in the cage. Jayla says, but if he wins, the message gets out. Great job recapping what we heard 15 seconds ago. But, no, so,
yeah,
I mean, this has been fun, actually, so far, but swinging back to main event,
good.
We had two other matches,
Sheamus,
right? We had the Barrett.
Well, I want to mention Sheamus' interview because, you know, we've talked about letting people speak. So when he started having the interview, all I really have to say is, hey, you're doing something. You know, after
right,
Titus O'Neil
they're giving
feud,
him a moment to have personality.
Yeah, yeah. And then, yes, we move forward, and we have Kofi versus Barrett, which my reaction immediately screaming, if you want to call me the screaming Michael Cole announcer, just, whoa, Kofi Kingston. But what is he doing, Michael? No, he's just there.
The Wildcat.
Yeah, right? Because they had that promo with him last night about the WWE Network that we loved. But my first reaction was, great job with him being on television and everything to make you know who Kofi Kingston is before the kids watching are like, Mommy, who's that guy doing that thing with the WWE Network?
That's Booker T. No.
Yeah,
but,
right? Exactly.
The funny thing is, though, and I love Kofi, last night's promo, by the way, I thought musically they may have missed it a bit because the message that I got was Kofi Kingston is my hero. Like, because when he started talking about the network to the latter half of that promo, it was just the most heroic, sentimental stuff. And I was just like, Kofi, you can do it. Yeah, man. Boom. To
you
the future
ever know
with
that you're
jetpacks.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
I love you. I just got a Scott Pilgrim reference in there. I should feel happy.
Okay. Because you sounded all right. Because you sounded like Fandango. Just jetpacks.
No,
like
it's actually it's a line from Scott Pilgrim where he's like, "Do you see a future?" His sister's like, "Do you see a future with this girl?" And he's like with jetpacks? Yeah, with jetpacks. And it was just. Anyone out there has not read the Scott Pilgrim comic series or seen the movie, personal recommendation is that you do.
I've read a few volumes, and it's wonderful. It's just,
watch the movie if you can, because it's so, especially if you like over-the-top stuff, because it's just so fun.
Oh, man.
But, yeah.
But getting back to Kofi and Barrett.
Kofi got crushed, too, in a bit of a floppy match.
Yes, but I think what was even worse, by the way, was their mess up at the end. I don't know if you noticed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think it was very noticeable. They did a replay, and it was like, oh, good, it's a replay, so then Kofi's going to kick out. And during the replay, Kofi lost. And and I think, you know, kudos to the commentators.
The replay, Kofi lost.
Yeah.
No, you're right, it just sounded funny.
No, it's true. So kudos to the commentators for saying, and you see the replay where Kofi, and then the truck knew what they were doing. So they're like, damn it, we have to take the replay off because Barrett just won. And they take the replay off, and then while they're saying, and then in the replay that we'll see back in a second, I was just sitting there,
really. That's why I said sloppy, because it didn't work at the end where they weren't really on the same page. And also, Barrett elbowed him and had to bring him back in for it. And it just kind of made Kofi seem like he was really knocked out. And it's like, I guess you're putting over the elbow, which is cool. But, I mean, you don't need to use Kofi for that.
No.
You can use Kofi for things. He could be an easy transitional U.S. champion or intercontinental champion.
Yeah, I really think that, you know, they we've talked about this over and over and over. Everyone's getting tired. They have way too many people on their roster right now. You know, way too many people. And honestly, it's weird. I would be happy if they trimmed some fat, even though I really would hate it if they got rid of guys like, you know, Ray and Big Show, even though because they're also, I think it's mostly because they're part of our childhood. But honestly,
Do consider house shows.
I really do. I really should. But
because,
Ray
may not be on main television, but
you
know he'll be a hit, like, if they go to places. The kids will be like, Ray, he'll wrestle, like, a random singles match with, like, Dolph Ziggler, you know? And
I
mean, so do consider house shows that we don't keep track of, but, you're still valid on the point that
it
doesn't work the way that they think it's working right now.
Yeah, it's not. You know, and it sucks because Triple H is doing a lot of great things. He really is.
Yeah.
But this being his idea, because I believe it has been confirmed this is his idea, possibly his worst idea. You know, it may even be worse than bringing in the New Age Outlaws to win the tag team titles, honestly. And I know that might sound blasphemous, but I think it's so bad because it's, at least with that, they're gone now. You know, that was a time where it happened, whatever. But with this, if Triple H really does get under, you know, and the rule and it's all him, this will be going on for a very long time. You know, this no brand split thing. And it's you know, and already you can see things had the chance to get dull, and they were. And they got revitalized a bit after WrestleMania, but there's a good chance that after Extreme Rules, it's going to get dull again. And it's just, you know, it's going to be very repetitive. I mean, when you have, you know, Kofi versus Wade Barrett, you think, how many times have these guys fought already? Especially, you know, in actual real, you know, in real feuds. You know, not like just little one-off matches. Have these guys actually had a main event feud yet? Or a mid-card feud yet? And you think, yes, they obviously have. Because everyone wrestles everyone at this point. Everyone wrestles everyone. Not even under different gimmicks either. I mean, you know, Wade has a different gimmick, yes, but you still have Kofi sitting here with the same gimmick, and it's just, you're really thinking, okay, you know, things are getting a bit lazy, guys. We got to change it up. We got to shake some things here and there.
Right, and
Hey, before we jump into the Sheamus Wyatt stuff in terms of the match, I just want to take a minute to freak out about how cool that Shield Evolution Extreme Rules package is.
Oh, yes, it is.
Because it's just excellently done. Because, again, A-plus shop to WWE's video team for just
still
doing
upset,
everything
still
right.
Still upset with the no Full House theme. But, I mean, hey, what can you do?
Yeah, no Full House theme, but that's okay.
I have a question. Maddie, could you please look up if Full House was on NBC? Full House wasn't on NBC, or was it?
I think it was. But we'll get her on that.
I'm only asking because if it was owned by NBC, then technically they own the rights to that song. So the fact that they have not used it yet.
Right, Universal is with WWE.
Because they are with USA. I'm a big fan of 30 Rock, and they made a great joke.
Full House
where
was
ABC. Just, damn, never mind.
Thank you again, Maddie. Excellent job, Maddie. In terms of speed
Thank
and
you.
Accuracy.
Yes. But I was a bit confused, if only because we had – actually, that would make sense. They had Disney references. They literally went to Disneyland. I'm an idiot. But I only brought it up because NBC had that reference to Full House recently where they brought back – they brought back John Stamos and...
Maddie says, no problem, and fuck you, Matt, because of the Zack Ryder comment from earlier.
I don't know if... She probably is saying that, but I don't know this time. I wouldn't know. I assume so.
You sound
very
hurt.
Interesting. I don't know. No, because usually she curses you out and then you throw it at me, but I don't know because I did make that Zack Ryder comment earlier. I'm on a... Maddie, call in and dispute this. And if you don't call in, I'm going to assume that you hate me.
718-664-9468 is the number for anyone out there, named Maddie or not named Maddie, that would love to call in and talk with us as we wind down our last 15 minutes on today's main event recap.
The number is 718-664-9468.
That's Christ.
As I cry myself to sleep. So anyway, but seriously though, I only brought it up because
minutes.
You know,
let's finish up our podcast and then you can cry yourself to sleep.
Right. Back to 30 Rock. As weird as this may sound, there's a great 30 Rock joke that really does tie in here, where it's just you think like, oh no, I believe in this party and in that party. I watch this channel to show that I believe in this party, and then Jack, the played by Alec Baldwin, comes in and says, no, Liz. No, to Tina Fey. No, Liz Lemon. Everything you think you like is actually owned by the other party or owned by this and that and this. It was great because it's so true where, you might think, oh, I don't like U.S. It's like, oh, I don't like NBC. I watch USA. Wrong. NBC owns USA.
Bam.
Rethink.
Gotcha, bitch.
Yeah, exactly. Right there. Just ha. So, rethink what you love and actually look into what they own because they own everything.
It also works that way with food companies, by the way.
Yes.
I think for a while, Coca-Cola owned a health food company that started with a K that I can't place right now. But it was just really funny. It was like, oh, yeah, that stuff is healthy. Fuck Coca-Cola and all their bad stuff. Coca-Cola owns that company. Fuck.
Yeah, so it's like, so granted, you're still getting healthy stuff, I'm sure, but you're still supporting the people you hate. So,
It was kind of a trauma twofer.
Yeah.
But
so back to Sheamus and Bray. I thought it was a very nice match. I didn't think there was anything really, terrible about it. I loved Bray and him, trying to psych out Sheamus, and Sheamus was being Sheamus and everything. So, it was great. The commentary was still great. And then, as we mentioned, we get to the end where, the Usos come out and they be, they're superheroes. They become these superheroes. And it ends. So you're thinking, oh, yeah, main event's over. Everything's cool. Wrong. We both, I saw it coming, you did as well, that there was going to be a six-man tag on SmackDown, which is filmed in the same block, which means that in the mid-card of that night, which was about, let's say, an hour later, because SmackDown is 2 hours long, an hour later, Bray was in a match. What are you guys doing to Bray Wyatt? John Cena gets a break. I mean, I assume he might be at a house show, let's say, but John Cena gets a break, but Bray gets two matches in a night. Really?
No, it's funny because, to anyone listening, to be quite fair, I read the SmackDown spoilers as I was talking to Matt, and he actually called the six-man tag match before we mentioned anything about them. And it was just really funny because it was the most – it's one of those really basic cliche builds.
Yeah.
And normally it would make sense. Yeah, two guys run in to save the face from a three-man heel crew. Yeah, six-man tag, right? The only issue here is just because the Usos are face tag team champions doesn't mean they're, the superhero Usos.
Yeah.
I will admit, and like super kicking the hell out of villains.
Yeah.
They just...
I will admit I do want that to happen more often. Like, I would enjoy if the Shield would be these kind of, these actual superheroes, where it's just, anyone is in trouble, the Shield just comes in, even if it's just Dean Ambrose being Dean Ambrose, where it's like, it's like Dean Ambrose is here to help you. He's viciously beating that guy down. No, but he's helping you. There's blood. That guy's bleeding. It would still be fun and interesting. It's really awesome when faces and heels stick together, I think. I mean, of course, if there's a common goal, they want the title, beat each other up. But if it's an actual, there is trouble with my face friend. Let's get some faces together, right? Let's all help the face out. I like that mentality. But in this case, it was just very out of left field. It would have been a Shield thing to do if the Shield wasn't busy, which makes you upset because it makes you think, are superstars too busy to help each other out? Like, is John Cena so busy with preparing for his match that he just couldn't help out Sheamus? That's extremely messed up. He tagged with Sheamus and Big E a month ago. That is extremely messed up. I find that very upsetting.
No,
screw
it's
John
just really...
Cena. I'm so sorry to interrupt you, but we brought this up actually a couple months back when Daniel Bryan was having major trouble with the Authority, couldn't get a win out of these guys. They were destroying him completely. And John Cena, right, the top face of the company, comes back. And he comes back triumphantly, I am back and I am John Cena and I'm going after the title. But John, your friend, actually, one of your brother-in-law, John, your friend, he needs your help.
Your real-life brother-in-law needs your help. What will you do? Option B, I've got it for myself. I want the title.
Yes. And
what?
Then, and then he's,
John, that's
and,
not the right path in the video game. You would get the non-true ending if you did that. People would hate you. You want the canon ending in a video game, John. Don't you play RPGs, you son of a bitch?
Yeah, right. Apparently, like Fist of the North Star, if that's anywhere close to being an RPG, which it isn't. Nowhere near.
He does. He loves Fist of the North Star, and he likes anime, which makes me think he knows about true endings and this kind of stuff. I want that to be
my
thing,
opinion,
by the way.
In my opinion, he's...
Don't you play RPGs, you little bitch?
In my opinion, John Cena just sits there just drinking steroids. I don't know how steroids work. Sits there drinking steroids. Sitting there drinking steroids, looking at JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, Fist of the North Star, and Dragon Ball Z, going, those are realistic muscle goals.
John watches Dragon Ball Z, and he's only disappointed in himself because he's like, why can't I do an attitude adjustment under 20 times gravity? I should work for that. And I was like, I guess I can't do that, so I'm going to F you 20 random guys.
Yeah.
And that'll make up for it. Right, Goku? Will you love me then? Daddy never loved me. No, he did. He just gets beat up by Randy Orton every other month.
I think that's what his dad is into, honestly. I'm not saying there's anything wrong
getting
with it.
Getting beaten up by Randy Orton?
I'm not saying... Well, first of all, that's not a bad thing to be into. Two, I'm not saying
there's
a problem with that.
Well, the men want to be him. So
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, right, with liking that. But I think that's what his dad likes, because the first time... It's Randy Orton's fault. The second time, that's on you.
The third and fourth times for when they revisit this feud, that's on WWE. For giving him a ticket.
Yeah, for giving him
a ticket. No, sir. We think it's a little bit dangerous for you to be in the front row. Yeah. I want to watch my son wrestle. He's in a Randy Orton feud. I'll come back in a month or so.
Yeah, exactly. John Cena just sits there. I want to get my dad comp tickets. They all look at him. You hate your father. John Cena looks at them. I really do.
I do.
It's like, I will. No, John Cena's whole plan is just, I will. It's like, I will kill my father to get the inheritance money. John, I think you've got some rattles to your head there, John. You want the inheritance?
Too much anime, John? No, are you a heel now?
No, no. Like, John, do you want the inheritance money? Yes. John, look at your paycheck, John. Oh.
It's like, why do you need that? That's just more fuel for the prenup, which you're already getting. I don't know. Off John Cena jokes. That Sheamus Wyatt match was actually pretty solid. There were some nice spots.
It was long.
They gave them enough time. Yeah, they gave them enough time to actually work a match. And the thing about Wyatt's matches is that I can understand why you don't always appreciate, not you specifically, why people don't, you know, appreciate them, because it's a lot of storytelling. It's methodical sometimes. And it can come off as a bit less interesting. And it's weird even for me, because as a guy who grew up on cruiserweights and, like, ECW, I was always into high-paced action and that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
so
yes.
I can also appreciate good storytelling, though. And I think that works with Bray, where he's good in the ring with the right people, and I will give Sheamus credit where he's due. This was a solid match, especially on Main Event. I mean, it was nice that Main Event got some love and respect tonight.
Oh, a lot of love. I think it was double as good as it, you know, because of last week's really bad main event. I think they made it twice as good because they were thinking, you know what, we need people to watch. We really do. Because they didn't promote it at all last week, and it was very bad last week.
Well, that, I think that was part of it, too, where it may have really just slipped their mind, where they were just like, shit, we have to do main event. And they really didn't know what they were doing. And this week, they just wanted to do the opposite. Like, we didn't promote it last week. We need to put something on main event this week. Because I think a lot of people do watch it on the network, I would say.
Oh, yeah. I think, though, the only issue is that, as you mentioned, not the only, we've mentioned this a lot, but since you mentioned how great of a match it was, it's what really upset me where now Bray has to do another match. I assume he was protected because it was a tag, same with Sheamus, but the point is that they were both there, you know, and an hour later, no less.
I think it's okay, though, because these guys work for, I mean, it's just think of it as like an extensive night, you know? It's just you can't do this week by week.
Yeah.
And
but
also,
I mean, think
it's not back-to-back, and they were spaced out, because I think the six-man tag was about the mid-card. Del Rio going again
was hour.
The...
Yeah, that was 2 hours. So Del Rio got the most chance to, you know, just to sit down, which, I mean, does work, because, well, you do have, you know, a bunch of rest breaks.
And it's a fatal four-way. So, you know,
But it is still pretty hard, though.
I'm not denying that, like, it's hard. I'm, like, I'm not saying that
the
I
the
could
tag
do it.
Was
I
actually
certainly
easier.
Couldn't.
The tag was easier, actually, I would say. Because of I feel like the protection is a lot easier to tag than it is.
Because, you never know, though. Because we could find out that, you know, we don't know who was beaten down in that match.
That's true. But as we come to a close, great main event. Definitely check it out on the network. Definitely get the network if you haven't yet. As I'm sure you should know, we're not going to be doing SmackDown this week. But I would like you to know that if, you know, definitely get Extreme Rules. I would definitely say to, you know, look into
it. Which we are doing.
Which we are doing, yes. Right after Extreme Rules, it'll be you, me, and Ashley Colpan, who worked with me on Total Divas, working on Extreme Rules. Lovely girl. She was excellent and, you know, first time on the show, which was great, and we're definitely going to keep on having her on again and again and again. We were going to do Total Divas, and then we remembered about Extreme Rules. Sadly, I don't think E and Total Divas remembered, but hey, what can you do, right? That's still airing at 9 next week. Not that we're watching it, because of that little pay-per-view coming up. Also, DirecTV and Dish will not be hosting it, so definitely get on that network if those are what you have. And like us, those guys on the radio, if you're looking at the URL, if you're searching us on Facebook, those guys, you know, definitely like our Facebook page. You'll always get updates on different shows. Tomorrow at 6 p.m., we will be doing our following show on the second season finale. Which won't be Satish Ram, sadly. He will run away. And it'll be myself along with Anthony Sinandris talking about that wacky following show that Joe Carroll, what's he doing? What's he getting into this week? That whole cult murder thing.
I still don't know what it is.
He knows nothing of it, but it's really good, and he should be watching. And that will be all. Thank you guys for listening to those guys. Aha. So put on music for us, Mr. Ram.
Fine. Just fuck you.
All right, good.
Oh, you didn't know?
Ah.
Your ass better call somebody!